From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Cassaquy strikes to lead at the eighth pole. It's Cassaquy in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Cassaquy.
Here on the far outside is Good Samaritan in his dirt debut, and he's charging in the center of the track. He's gone by them all. Good Samaritan has taken the lead, and he's pulling away. Good Samaritan has won the Jim Dandy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy to have you with us on this Saturday morning, the 12th day of August, 2017, which means we are just 82 days away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar. That comes up November 3rd and 4th. And this afternoon, we turn our attention to the Breeders' Cup Turf Division because we have a couple of really good turf races on the docket. And they are winning your in events, the Beverly D, the Arlington Million, both taking place at Arlington Park in Chicago. Right here in Saratoga, where Jude and I are this morning, well, we have the four-star Dave, a really good grade one, and a lot of turf action coming your way over the course of the next, well, several hours here on the network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Barron and Pontiff. We are with you at the Embrace the Race store here in downtown Saratoga. We are positioned in the custom collection room. When you walk in their door, you hang a left, and it's a beautiful setting for this show this morning. Embrace the Race has been a longtime partner of ours and couldn't be happier to be here, JT, downtown Saratoga.
Yeah, it's always fun to come to the Embrace the Race store. Great merchandise and friendly help. And, you know, I tell people all the time, they see me in a tie or whatever, go downtown Saratoga, take a look, you know, go to the store. Everybody loves to shop, right? And this is a great place for anybody in the horse business to come and find some nice things to wear and great accessories. I love the cups and the glasses. I mean, everything here is just so cool.
And so many people now recognize Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. They recognize the logo, which is so elegant. They recognize the name now, and it's just amazing to see the way that this brand has developed and grown over the years. And Mike D'Anzaris is the man who created Embrace the Race. He's with us this morning, too. Mikey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Good morning to you guys, and welcome to everyone around the country and the world, as you say, on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So welcome to Saratoga, and welcome to Embrace the Race.
We had the privilege of sitting in with you again this year with our Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale coverage Monday and Tuesday night. And it's amazing, Mike, how many people came up to us at the sales grounds and talked to us about the ties we were wearing. We had on the Embrace the Race ties.
Right.
So many people now recognize it. It's so cool.
It really is. And, you know, when we were working to create that logo, it did not happen overnight. It was a process. It was research. It was a lot of thought and effort and really working to try to make it a combination of elegance, class, subtle, say horse racing without screaming horse racing. But then, of course, the reality is being racing's brand and creating a brand for everyone in the industry, everyone in the sport, everyone in the ecosystem that is racing, we wanted to make sure everyone was included. So, you know, when you go to the EmbraceTheRace.com store, you obviously see the logo. It's 9 strokes. All of those strokes are unconnected by design in that they each represent a different piece of the horse racing universe, with the idea that without everyone in racing, there is no racing, right?
Yeah.
You talk to grade one trainers and owners today who are running in Chicago and Saratoga, and without all their help, without the owners, without the trainers, without the jockeys, without everyone involved, right down and including most importantly sometimes the groom, the barn help, and all those folks, there is no racing. And that's that same mentality with Embrace the Race. Everyone's represented with a different stroke in their logo, it all comes together, and they embrace the passion of racing, and they embrace the race.
And we were talking about this before we came on air this morning, with all of the international presence here in the United States this weekend, with the Arlington Million, the Beverly D, the Secretariat in Chicago, and then, of course, you had the four-star Dave here. But with all of that combining here today on a very special day of racing, it really represents what Embrace the Race is all about.
It really does. You know, you take a look exactly. You know, you guys are going to bounce all around the country on the show today. Grade One racing is going to be influenced by racing enthusiasts and owners from around the country and around the globe. And what's the singular thing that unites everyone? It's a passion and excitement for the race and the passion for it. So we talked the other night at the sales about Embrace the Race is such a moving, emotional phrase combined with an amazing logo and being horse racing's brand. But when you boil it down, very self-interpretive, what does it mean to you to embrace the race? Listen, everyone wants to be in the winner's circle today in Arlington and Saratoga, period. But for many people who truly do understand and appreciate what it means to be a part of the experience, just getting to the race today is a victory, right? And
right.
And of course, in a business sense, for a lot of people, hitting the board could be a victory. You always want to win, but there's many ways to monetize or to define your experience in horse racing. So that broad sense of why do you embrace the race? How do you embrace the race? Certainly applies today in an international and a domestic sense as well.
Yeah, people are going to look at victories in different ways. Just being alive in the pick five going into the last leg could be considered a victory, even if you don't win, right, JT?
Just being alive.
Just being alive in the pick five.
Forget the pick five.
Being alive in general.
Right.
But there's so many people, we come in contact with them all the time, that I've always wanted to run a horse at Saratoga.
Right.
We hear it at Keeneland. I always wanted to run a horse at Keeneland. It doesn't even have to do with winning, you know. There are so many people, I've always wanted to run a horse in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, that's like victory number one is to get your horse to the races, right?
Right.
And then if you get to run at a track that you've always wanted to run
right.
at. I mean, I know for me, you know, I always wanted to run a horse at Santa Anita. I was so fortunate. The first horse I ever ran at Santa Anita won.
Right.
I was spoiled for life, you know. It's just one of those things.
I bring up the pick five thing because I think this is a good story for HRN Nation to hear. I had the chance, and you had the chance, to sit down with my nieces and nephews for our annual visit with them here at Saratoga on Thursday afternoon. We took a few hours, and we said, okay, we're going to stop working. We're going to relax, enjoy some time with the family. I have turned my young nieces and nephews into total degenerates. They are addicted to horse racing.
How about educated, informed enthusiasts? How about that?
They're degenerate gamblers, man. They're geez. Degenerate. And then
we bar that word from Embrace the Race, Mike.
So they always like to play 10-cent superfectas because, you know, they're kids. They don't have a lot of money. They're playing 10 cents. So Uncle Mike's up there putting in the 10-cent superfectas. And, of course, they have to play like 10 different combinations for their $1 bet. So I have punching 10 different 10-cent superfectas. Then Jude teaches them about pick threes and pick fours and pick fives. And then they start looking. They're pretty smart kids. They start seeing the jackpot on the
right.
television monitors, and they see the jackpot going up like, you know, $100,000 in the pool in the pick five.
And they say, I want some of that.
So they take a swing at that now.
Right.
So now Uncle Mike's up there punching in a pick five ticket, right?
Yep.
50-cent pick five. Well, my young 14-year-old nephew, Logan, plays a ticket, 50 cents. He goes one by one by one by one by one. One horse in each race. He's 4 for 4, right? He's alive going into the last leg, the last race on Thursday afternoon. He has the favorite in that race. And he has to learn sometime about this sport and how cruel it can be. Because this is the way that race sounded.
They're into the stretch. It's a Mandalayne and Amber Dancer. A Mandalayne with the lead. Amber Dancer right up alongside. Lulu's Pom Pom's now going to swing off the rail and is in a tight spot there, trying to squeeze on through inside of Andretta. They come to the final 16th. The Mandalayne Amber Dancer still there. Lulu's Pom Pom is coming. So to Andretta on the outside. Four of them down to the wire. Bobbing heads. Oh, it was tight. It was either Amber Dancer or Lulu's Pom Pom. Andretta was right behind them with a Mandalayne in 102.86.
All right, so I should have told you before the clip that he had Lulu's Pom Pom was his horse, okay?
Right.
So Lulu's Pom Pom comes flying, gets there in a photo, doesn't win the photo. So the poor kid loses his pick five by a nostril, right? And I'm just looking at him going,
welcome
kid,
to horse racing.
Get used to it, man. Loses it by and then the horse gets taken down and goes from second to third.
Right, exactly.
It would have been even worse if
that was
Lulu's
a great finish,
won.
By the way. Oh, that was a great finish. Yeah,
spectacular.
Well, so notice
he had to learn sometime.
Yeah, well, notice Jude, Uncle Mike didn't help him invest additional dollars to hedge back to protect his pick five investment. No. That would have had to come out of Uncle Mike's pocket. I hope you did.
That's actually not true.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he had, what did he have? $2 left in his pocket.
Okay.
And so he decides he wants to play the longest shot in the race.
Okay.
45 to 1.
Nice. Now he's totally involved.
Yeah. So I go up, right? And I, dollar to win, dollar to place, 45 to 1 shot.
Right.
Right. Well, he says, I want to play it across the board. We only had two pots. So Uncle Mike got, I had to give him an extra dollar.
Just spring for that buck.
I was going to get it back. If he was alive to $581 in the pick five, I was going to get the buck back.
There you
go. He was getting $580.
There you go.
Yeah, got to learn sometime.
There you go.
All right, look, we have a poll question here for you this morning at HRN on Twitter. The winner of this year's Breeders' Cup Turf. We're going to stick with the turf theme. Here's the poll question. The winner of this year's Breeders' Cup Turf will come from the Arlington Million, the Four-Star Dave, or neither. Neither of those two. Those are your three choices. Weigh in now at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, busy show. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Eric Bishop. He is with Sunrise Stallions. Took the time to catch up with me yesterday for an interview. Of course, our coverage of the Traverse Stakes later this meet is all presented by Sunrise Stallions. So you're going to hear from Eric in just a couple of minutes after our first commercial break. You're going to hear from Buff Bradley, the trainer of Divisadero, in this afternoon's Arlington Million. We're going to visit with Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau to get you set for all of the Europeans going to the post later this afternoon. You won't want to miss that interview. That comes your way at 9 Eastern. Ed DeRosa from Brisnet and Twin Spires will be with us at 9:20 Eastern. And Brad Cox, the trainer of Sassy Little Lila, the filly taking on the boys in this afternoon's four-star day, he's going to be with us at 9:38 Eastern time. So an extremely busy show. We'll kick it all off next with Eric Bishop on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crops still to come.
Golden State just keeps on going! Golden State will do it again for the big final! Practical jumps under the way of the champagne!
Vickers and trouble. By Jack in the Ascendancy Light.
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As the field turns for home at the top of the stretch, and it is Big Brown who rolls open now to a three-length lead. Eight bells is second, recapture the glory. It's third, tail of the county is fourth, and the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby. And it's going to be Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses. It is Big Brown by five on the wire. The Philly eight bells was second. Dennis of Cork came from 20th to be far end of the line. And Tail of the County was fourth. There's the Derby winner, Big Brown, and he delivered today.
Big Brown romping to Kentucky Derby glory. That's one moment most people will never forget. And I know that Eric Bishop with Sunrise Stallions won't forget that, because Big Brown now stands here in New York, and he stands at Sunrise Stallions. And Eric, kind enough to spend a few minutes with me here this morning. Eric, appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Mike. Always a pleasure to hang out with you and have a couple of laughs and talk some good horse stuff.
You know, people are going to wonder why I played that rejoin clip coming out of the break. But because Big Brown stands here in New York and he stands at your farm, it kind of fits, right? And that's one moment in racing history that people aren't soon to forget because it was so impressive.
Yeah. When you look at these, when you try to remember certain horses and the way they run, it's amazing how many people remember his, first of all, his debut. Then the allowance race that got taken off the grass at Gulfstream, people were just like, wow, this is definitely the real deal, this horse. It was an off-the-turf race. I think there were six horses in the race, and just the way he ran, everybody said he's got to go to the Florida Derby. And then just he's always had that wow factor. And he looks the part. Physically, he's, you know, anybody that looks at him says, this is what you want a horse to look like, you know, a racehorse to look like. So we're very proud to have him in New York. Last year, we had a huge crop of mares. 2 years ago when we brought him here, we got a lot of support from the New York breeders, and his two-year-olds from that big crop will be competing next year. So we're really excited about 2018.
And he's done so well for you guys. The name Dortmund comes to mind immediately when you think about Big Brown and his offspring. Dortmund kind of on the comeback trail now, and a horse that can really, really run.
Yeah, Dortmund was definitely a big push for us. The timing was great because he was on the Derby trail when we brought him to New York, so that added to the whole excitement of bringing a Kentucky Derby winner to New York to stand. And we're very excited that Dortmund's now back on the training, and also Send It In, who's been a very good older horse that's proven himself winning the Alexia last year, and he's also coming back with Todd Pletcher, and you know, he'll be back in training soon. We also, this weekend, we have a big weekend coming up with a bunch of Big Brown fillies. We have Canny running in Arlington Park in the Pucker Up Grade 3 Stakes. We have Sine Wave running in the Monmouth Oaks Grade 3. And we also have Adore running on Sunday at Ellis Park in another Grade 3 with the Groupie Doll Stakes. So, you know, this is huge for New York and New York breeders, and the quality of the type of stallions we can bring to New York when you have graded horses running all over the country. So I'm just hoping that our educated breeders are paying attention to the successes of the offspring that we have running in multiple states.
Yeah, it's a great point. And talking about horses running all over the country and running at high levels, you have to talk about a little Frost Giant that's out there now, who I don't know if he's getting the respect he deserves, but you and I were talking before we did the interview, he might be one of, if not the best Frost Giant that stallion has ever produced, and he's produced a lot of really good runners.
Yeah, it's a crazy business, right? So we bring, you know, Frost Giant here. He's the blue blood pedigree, and he's put out great New York bred winners, and now his best horse probably that he's ever put on the racetrack is running in California. No one's paid, because like we said, who do you remember that runs second all the time? There's only one horse that comes to mind, is Alidar, right? So we have a Frost Giant Alidar out there who's run second to Arrogate. He's run second to American Freedom. And 2 weeks ago, he runs second out there in California to Gata Del Oro, who's supposed to be the up-and-coming three-year-old out there. So here's a horse that's a New York bred. You think they would take advantage of the New York program, which they did. They brought Giant Expectations here a few weeks ago to Belmont, and the Toscanos did a great job. And he took down his maiden condition, and then he took the A other down 8 days later. So he came here, made $100,000, and then shipped back to California, and everybody's going to forget about him. Meanwhile, it's the best Frost Giant I got out there.
Well, and just to show you that Frost Giants are running everywhere, you were telling me there's a horse that's going to run at Arapahoe that's by Frost Giant out in Colorado?
Yeah, there's a horse called Thermistor who was bred here by our own people. We sold him in a sale for, I think, $8,000 or $10,000, and the people debuted him at Lone Star. I got a call, and they said, oh, you got to watch this horse run at Lone Star. He goes off 3-5 at Lone Star, New York bred running in Texas. He dusts the field. He went by like 7 lengths, and now he's running in a $100,000 stake race in Colorado. So I'm almost feeling like I should be like Seabiscuit. You know, you got to bring him around the whole country before you get any respect, you know. So, well, we're very excited to have a two-year-old like that. I mean, who knows, you know, what kind of caliber he's running against out there, but he's probably going to be 4-5. I think there's even an Oregon-bred horse in that race. So it's exciting for us, but at the same time, it's tough to promote your stallion when you're running at Arapahoe. But hopefully after he wins the stake race, he'll be coming to New York.
I wasn't aware that they bred horses in Oregon, at least race horses anyway, but I guess they do.
And, only one a year, just one a year.
And you got to hook them out of Arapahoe.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun. Talking with Eric Bishop of Sunrise Stallions here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eric, how important is it? Obviously, you want to win here at home in front of the home crowd at Saratoga and Belmont and Aqueduct and all those big races that they have. But how important is it for a New York stallion to produce runners that are competing on the highest levels all over the country?
Well, it's huge if people are paying attention. Like I said, sometimes you get lost. You know, Giant Expectations is a perfect example. I mean, here's a horse. I mean, the reason they're keeping him out there is they really believe he'll win at least a grade three out there in open company, which is a home run for us if we can get a New York Red Stallion to win a grade three out in California at Del Mar or Santa Anita. I mean, that's, you know, you'd think that would be a huge plug, and which it is. So, but the most important thing for us is we try to get the Big Browns and the Frost Giants and now the Heavy Breathings to a lot of different New York trainers. New York trainers, you know, that have been, you know, they're here all year round. They work hard. They run in the winter. And, you know, most of our trainers are very excited to get a Frost Giant, a Big Brown in their barn. They love them. So we just hope they can continue this success here at home on a home court. And, you know, when you take advantage of the purse money and the condition structures for these New York bred stallions, you know, it's a big plus. And hopefully that carries into the sale coming up. We have 2 Frost Giant colts and 4 Big Brown colts that we're very proud of that are in the sale over the weekend. And hopefully a lot of people couldn't get what they wanted in the open sale, and they're looking to buy a quality New York bred by Frost Giant or Big Brown tomorrow night and Sunday night. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Yeah, the open sale was extremely strong. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that the average price for the 2 nights was the second highest in the history of the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale. And they've been selling horses for 97 years here at Fasig Tipton. Think about that. Huge, huge numbers. Does that carry over to the New York bred side of things coming up Saturday and Sunday night?
Well, we hope it does. We hope people will respect the individual quality. There's some really good-looking yearlings in the sale. We've seen a few of them this morning. And we're hoping that people recognize that and take advantage of the New York program. And we were out to dinner with a couple of big guns the other night that told us, look, my $250,000 wasn't even getting me close to anything, you know. So hopefully they're going to spend that $250,000 on a couple of New York breds in the next 2 days, and that would be a real boost. And it would be a boost for the whole New York program if we can bring up the numbers in this sale compared to last year's sale and keep the percentages kind of in line with what happened here in the open sale. That would be a tremendous lift to our program.
Over the past several years, Sunrise Stallions have had a tremendous amount of success. What's the key to being successful here in this market and with the stallions that you have? What's the key and the philosophy, I guess, at Sunrise?
The key is you got to have winners. You got to have runners that win. And the key is to put them out there with trainers, you know, even from the get-go. The right farms, the right upbringing for these horses, and put them in good hands with good trainers that, you know, respect the quality of these New York breads that we're putting out there and hope to make them successful. So it's all about, you know, who's taking care of these horses and who's training them, and hopefully you have luck, because, you know, you get crazy injuries or you get setbacks like any horse can have. But the most important thing is the people that are surrounding these horses, and that's really what makes you successful.
You know, from my personal experience and working with you and the entire team, I have to say, I think the one thing that stands out is that you treat people the way you would want to be treated, you know? And I think when you're doing that with breeders and with owners and with those people sending you their mares, I don't think you can lose.
Exactly. It's, you know, that's a staple in any business and any industry and any relationship you have with people. You know, you just got to treat people right, and you put your horses in hands that are going to treat the horses right. And that's what we try to do, and the success shows. You know, yesterday we took the Stallion Series Stakes race with Lover's Key. It's a Frost Giant, and she's a beautiful filly that's come a long way. She was competing in Florida once again. We have one of our best horses in another state, and thankfully she came up here, and she's been rocking and rolling. I think she's got now 6 wins in the last 7 starts, and she's a beautiful filly. And you know, it's horses like that that really make it successful and get people excited about breeding to your stallion.
Yeah, she was impressive too, and I believe it was Junior Alvarado was aboard, and when he said go, she just exploded.
Yeah. Junior Alvarado, we just saw him on the way here. That's why I'm late for the interview. I don't give jockeys too many compliments. I'm pretty harsh on jockeys, but I saw him this morning, and he's been riding perfectly on the front end in grass races. I mean, even last week with that Billy Mott horse, I think the barn was more surprised they won the race than anybody else. But he's been riding great, and he gave her the perfect ride. And she's if you look at her blinkers and stuff, Nagel Reed, who we don't even know, or Reed Nagel, I'm not even sure which his first name is. We just got to meet him yesterday, and he's put a couple of attachments on the blinkers, a little special, because she gets out there in front, and she gets a little kooky sometimes. So he had it perfect yesterday, and Alvarado did an excellent job. And that's what you need. You need everybody. You need the whole team. Like you said, it's a team effort. You need the people taking care of the horses, the people riding the horses, and that's what makes it successful.
Yeah, they're on a roll at Sunrise Stallions. Big Brown, Frost Giant, his full brother, Heavy Breathing. They are all there. You can get more information by going to sunrisestallions.com. Eric, as always, man, appreciate the support, appreciate the visit, and keep it rolling. Things are really cranking up now.
Yep, we're trying, and this is the place to be, the august place to be, as they said when I was a little kid, right? They got to bring that saying back, Saratoga, the august place to be. So we'll put the Big Browns and Frost Giants up here and hopefully keep winning.
Good luck, buddy.
Okay.
Eric Bishop, Sunrise Stallions. My thanks to Eric for taking the time for that interview yesterday. And, yeah, they are doing a tremendous job. Don't forget, our coverage of the Traverse Stakes coming up later this meet is all presented by Sunrise Stallions. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf. When we come back after this story, we're going to tell you about a great event. You won't want to miss this. A great event taking place at Del Mar later this afternoon. It is something that is really, really special. I'll tell you all about it right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
When the subject of thoroughbred of this dissertation died September 26, 1945, he left a legacy that stirred more genuine affection in the hearts of sports fans than any other the American turf had ever known. Old Bones, as he later came to be nicknamed, was a lanky foal bred by F.D. Knight and earned universal acclaim on the racetrack in the colors of Willis Sharp Kilmer. As a thoroughbred, he came from nowhere, as the saying goes. His pedigree, My McGee, Out of Fair Empress by Jim Gore, screamed aloud that he was strictly from the wrong side of thoroughbred racing's breeding track, so to speak. Somebody early on in his life had the presence and foresight to give him a name that fit him like a rubber glove and said it all about his talent on the racetrack as well, Exterminator. He started 100 times in his illustrious career, 150 being out of the money only 15 times. He had an interesting propensity to return to the winner's circle standing in a rather homely, ho-hum, nonchalant way. He carried the highest weight handicappers could dream up and did so with pride and with distinction. His composite earnings were astounding for the times, over $250,000. The most he ever earned for a win was $14,700 for his 1918 score in the Kentucky Derby. At that, he got to the Derby accidentally, and that story is well worth retelling. Racing for Carl Milam as a two-year-old after being purchased from his breeder for $1,500 as a yearling, he won four times, but showed little, if anything, by way of class. The next spring, Willis Sharp Kilmer had the sensational colt Sunbriar eligible for the classic run for the Roses, but Sunbriar did not train properly coming up to the race. Shortly before the Derby, Kilmer bought Exterminator from Milam for $9,000 just for the sake of having the Silks appear among the starters in the Derby, and the rest is historically chronicled. On a sloppy racetrack, the 30-1 game-gelding nickname Old Bones, Exterminator, splashed his way to a victory at his very first important stakes event. After that, he won every kind of race that racing secretaries could conceive. Oh, yes, he was beaten often, but not one time for lack of effort. They piled weight on him that would make a mule driver apologize to a mountain burro and send them on out to take their best at their favorite distance. Exterminator never gave a poor effort. He was the unequivocal thoroughbred idol of racing patrons everywhere, his name a household word. He ran under the tutelage of seven different trainers and made everybody famous that was ever connected with him. As gutsy and courageous a performer as ever set foot on the American racetrack, he was game to the core, even to his last race when he broke down and yet hung on determinedly to finish third. In the early morning hours of September 26, 1945, he met the Grim Reaper in a stall at Sunbriar Court in Binghamton, New York, at the age of 30. An inconspicuous stone marker stands there today above his head on a simple grave overlooking the Susquehanna River alongside his one-time stablemate, Sunbriar. Inconspicuous as it may be, that stone does reflect in its very pristinity that the American turf is a far, far greater and far, far richer institution for Old Bones having passed by. Exterminator.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street, TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but you don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way, right away, by owning pieces of multiple horses, which increases your chances of action. West Point has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 25 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit WestPointTB.com. That's WestPointTB.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepret and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway stallion Tepret, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Tappet has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Tappet's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It was great being four-star Dave's jockey in Saratoga because he was such a fan favorite. And you became a quasi-celebrity just being associated with him. So if you went to dinner and you were walking around, people were always stopping you, asking you about four-star Dave and what it was like to ride him. And it was a privilege to ride him. He was an extremely intelligent horse that had a lot of charisma. He'd hear a camera shudder and he would stop and pose. And I had a lot of good memories riding him up here. One, when we got disqualified and we should have never come down that day, wasn't a particularly good memory, but they did write a race for him and he won and kept the streak alive that year, although that was kind of a lot of pressure.
That's jockey Richard Migliori talking about four-star Dave, the Sultan of Saratoga, who died of a heart attack in 2002, but boy, what a run he had. He won a race in Saratoga each year from 1987 to 1994. The New York bred, well, he's remembered this afternoon with a race named in his honor, the Grade 1 Four-Star Dave, and we're going to be here to cover it for you this afternoon on the network. That coverage begins 6 o'clock Eastern Time, and it includes the Arlington Million, the Beverly D from Chicago, and, of course, that Four-Star Dave right here in Saratoga. You can listen on Sirius XM Channel 93. That's Sirius XM 93, 6 o'clock Eastern today. Make sure you're with Jude and I as we take you through those outstanding races here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, of course, you can always stream us worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Well, Mike Penn and Jude Feld, we are back with you here on the Equine Forum. We are broadcasting from the Embrace the Race store in downtown Saratoga. We are set up in their custom collection room. Mike D'Anzaris from Embrace the Race is also with us. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, your Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week, or this week it will be the Races of the Week, as Jude and I take a look at the big turf races that we just talked about for you, the Million, Beverly D, and Four Star Dave. We'll tell you who we think is going to win those races. And then trainer Buff Bradley coming up at 8:49 Eastern Time. Jude, a great thing taking place this afternoon at Del Mar. As you know, and many people know that listen to this show, the PDJF is our official charity. We do a lot of work to support them, and rightfully so. And there's an event taking place today that our good friend and colleague Jeff Bloom with Bloom Racing helped put together. Ann Von Rosen is going to become, and Ann Von Rosen, by the way, a disabled jockey. Ann Von Rosen will become the first non-military or first responder to receive what's called an alley chair. Okay, this is a specially designed chair provided to her by an organization called SEGS for Vets. And they provide segways and alley chairs to disabled military veterans who come back and need something to help them in their everyday lives. And it changes lives. Well, she is going to become the first recipient of one that is not a military member or a first responder. And that's going to happen in a ceremony at Del Mar today. And it's really cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And anybody that knows Ann Von Rosen knows what an upbeat person she is, how she's responded to her injury and always looking ahead, looking forward, and a very upbeat attitude. So it's really great that she's going to be able to take advantage of this program and that they're willing to, you know, provide this chair to her.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And there's going to be some veterans that are getting chairs today at Del Mar as well.
Yeah, it's going to be an emotional day. Corporal Sean Adams is going to receive a chair. Now, he's a U.S. Marine from Maysville, Georgia. He was injured in 2012. He was on a bomb sweeping mission, and he stepped on an IED. He lost both legs in the explosion. So this chair is going to completely change his life. Sergeant Bill Hoover from Windermere, Florida, will also be at Del Mar today. He was injured in 2014 when he was attacked in Afghanistan. He was shot 6 times in the attack. He was recognized after that for heroism, and he is going to also receive a chair today at Del Mar. So really great stuff. And here's the part of the story that I thought was just fantastic. Colonel Barney Barnum, he is one of just 79 living Medal of Honor recipients. He is going to fly from Washington, D.C. to Del Mar to help with the presentation. He received his Medal of Honor for his service in Vietnam, and he now sits on the board of the organization that's making this all possible, SEGS for Vets. So just a spectacular day at Del Mar, and a great thing that they're doing, and a great thing for racing.
You know, it's just wonderful. I mean, you see, we talk all the time about the genuine, caring, humanistic element of the racing community, and then to see that sort of unite with the veteran community is just awesome for racing, for veterans. And, you know, on a personal note, we've got my wife and I have a good friend and neighbor who just served admirably overseas, returned thankfully healthy just on Monday. And to watch him return to a young family and thankfully healthy, unimaginable when it's not healthy, but then for them to know that their support is immeasurable, and it's great to see when various groups come together to honor, you know, the vets, and then obviously, you know, on a different scale, but equally as tragic, you know, when someone loses their ability to provide for themselves and their families on the riding side with what you guys do with the Jockey Foundation and so on. I mean, it's great to just see this uniting and two great groups of people rising to the top, which is awesome.
And hopefully the start of more great things to come in terms of working with disabled jockeys and the PDJF. SegsForVets.ngo is the website. If you want to learn more, that's SEGS, the number 4, vets.ngo. If you want to support them, you can also text SEGS, SEGS, to 41444. And make a donation. And they're great. They're supporting racing. They're supporting disabled jockeys, and can't thank them enough. There is an interview on our website right now, horseracingradio.net, with the founder and president of SEGS for Vets. That is Jerry Kerr. He took the time to visit with me yesterday. Go back and listen to the interview. It's really cool stuff. So our thanks to them, and it's going to be a great day at Del Mar. All right, time now for your Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Turf.
Gio Bonti adds the million to his Grade 1 collection.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
$3 million Breeders' Cup.
Little Mike now to seize the lead as they make their way toward the top of the stretch.
Point of entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
Nothing like turning the Keeneland Lawn into your personal playground. It is all Teppan to win the Coolmore, Jenny Wiley.
All right, JT, let's take a look at the three big turf races around the country today. Those being the Four Star Dave, the Beverly D, and the Arlington Million. Of course, you have the Secretariat on the docket at Arlington, too. But we'll look at those three. The four-star Dave, we'll kick it off with that one, is a field of 7, but likely 6, because you do have one main track-only entrant, and the weather not supposed to be that bad here in Saratoga today, so expecting Weekend Hideaway to scratch. The favorite, 8-5, number 3, Time Test.
Yeah, Time Test is an interesting favorite in that he doesn't have a lot of speed. He's dropping back in distance, and it's not usually the kind of horse you would pick in a short field going a mile, but he certainly has a big chance. Very talented horse. He's got Javier Cassiano aboard. The world record holder, Disco Partner, is in there. He's been just spectacular since being taken over by Christoph Clement, and he's in the best form of his life right now. And you also have World Approval, who's an interesting horse. He's a hard trying horse right there every time. His trainer, Mark Cassie's having a little bit of a rough meet, but he's got some live horses in today, Mark. I wouldn't be surprised if today's not the day that Mark Cassie breaks out and and has a really good day. But World Approval, he's a beautiful horse. He's almost white, and he's got, you know, a lot of speed. He should be able to stay close to the filly in the race, who's obviously going to be the pace setter, and you know, maybe get first run on the closers.
All right, 6:28 Eastern is the post for the four-star Dave. The Grade 1 Beverly D is race number 10 at Arlington today, 6:35 Eastern, 5:35 local time is the post time for the Beverly D. 10 fillies and mares set to go to the post. Who'd you like in there?
Well, I went with Rain Goddess. She's been able to perform quite well in Europe. She got beat by Enable in the Darley Irish Oaks last time. And the third-place finisher, Azira and Enable both came back to win. So this filly's coming out of a key race. She gets a little weight break because she's a three-year-old, but she's facing a very tough field. Dona Bruja is trained by our friend Ignacio Correx the IV. He's a big fan of HRRN, and I'm a big fan of his. He's a excellent trainer. He's been bragging on this filly even before she got to the United States. She's won 10 of 12 starts. Very talented filly, and she's on a roll right now. And then my old girl, Daisita, she won her first race in the United States here at Saratoga. She won a big race last year. She seems to love the spa as much as the rest of us, and she's always tough. Chad Brown, of course, you know, he could saddle Francis the Mule and win a race, so yeah. You know, that's a pretty salty group.
How about the Arlington Million?
Arlington Million, I'm a little partial to Dovi. He's a horse that ran third last year as a three-year-old. I believe somebody said yesterday no three-year-olds won the Arlington Million since like 1988. So to run third, beating three-quarters of a length against Mondialiste and Kasaki, that's pretty salty race he ran. Now he's four. He's in his element. We know he likes the course. I think he could be tough. Kasaki, he's in great form right now. We know last year he just got beat a Zop, big price. It was a tremendous performance. And then Ascend is an interesting horse. Ascend is a horse that's trained by Graham Motion and has been running good races. He's got the 12-hole, but going a mile and a quarter shouldn't bother him too much. So I think those are the three in there.
All those races, part of our coverage this afternoon, 6 Eastern here on the network. Join us on Sirius XM 93 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. All right, we're going to get to a break. We will come back and visit with trainer Buff Bradley to talk about his Arlington Million contender, Divisadero. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The inaugural Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase takes place Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. An exciting addition to the Fasig Tipton sales calendar, the Turf Showcase is the only yearling sale in North America exclusively for horses with turf appeal. Did you know that nearly 7,000 races were run on turf in North America in 2016? And more than 40% of graded stakes this year will be turf races. The demand is growing, so don't miss your chance to buy a yearling with true turf appeal. Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. Visit FasigTipton.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Top of the stretch now. Beach Patrol trying to see it out. Turns for home in front. Half a length advantage. Enterprising trying to get by in second. Oscar Nominated is coming hard. And here comes Divisadero flying down the crown of the course. Beach Patrol trying to dig down. Divisadero rallying from behind. But Beach Patrol has something left for the final 16th. Divisadero surges up alongside and surges to win it. Divisadero runs down Beach Patrol. Oscar Performance was third and Casaqui was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, special guest co-host. That's Mike Dianzaris as we come to you live from the Embrace the Race store in downtown Saratoga. You can visit EmbraceTheRace.com to embrace your passion for the sport of thoroughbred racing. Divisadero, Travis Stone with the call, getting up to defeat Beach Patrol in the final strides of the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic. That was at Churchill Downs back in May. Divisadero has won that race two consecutive years, and today gets a rematch with Beach Patrol and has to take down an international field in the Grade 1 Arlington Million in Chicago. As we told you, that will all be part of our coverage this afternoon on the network beginning 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Buff Bradley is the trainer of Divisadero, and he is with us now here on HRRN. Buff, thanks for taking the time, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. No, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, happy Arlington Million Day. How's Chicago?
Chicago is very nice. It was like 58 degrees this morning. Sun's shining now. It's very nice weather here. It's quiet. So Big D's already had his breakfast and down for a nap and back up and ready to get his bath and walk.
All right, so let's talk about this spot in the Arlington Million. Obviously, he fits because he's beaten Beach Patrol. He's beaten Oscar Nominated. Has to turn the tables on Ascend, who beat him last time in the Grade 1 Manhattan. But tell us a little bit about Divisadero and how he's doing coming into the race.
Well, he's been doing super coming into the race. And this is a race that we've kind of looked at for the last year or so and really wanted to get up here for this. To go at it. It's it's a prestigious turf race, one of the best in the country, and so it was exciting to be able to point him towards this. And like I said, he's coming into it really, really nice.
You've brought him along kind of slowly this year. Is that based on his age? Is he a little bit harder to train now that he's older?
No, I mean he's. You know, he's been great this year. And, I think that the runs we did space him a little bit further apart, some of them. But he's ready to go now. I mean, this is going to be his race, I think. And the way it sets up, last time we didn't have such a great setup in that race. It was, you know, slow pace up front, and that turf course was pretty fast that day. If you'll remember, it's one of the fastest three races before that. I saw one of the fastest three quarters I've seen. So, and then our race went quite a bit slower on the front end, and we kind of knew going into that 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 could be a problem. We get Julian back aboard for this race, and I think Julian knows, you know, where he needs to be. He's a great judge of pace. Nothing against Johnny B, but I know that Julian has quite a bit of confidence in this colt. So glad to have him back on.
Buff, what makes Divisadero so good?
I think a lot of it is his demeanor and the way he takes things in. And, you know, you can do whatever you want with him. He's a very smart colt. He's one that you can, you know, he's not real aggressive around the barn, but when he gets on the track, if you ask him to go, he's going to go. And if you, you know, pull him back, he'll relax for you. So I think a lot of it is his mindset, and he listens to the person that's on him.
Buff, good morning. Mike Dianzaris from Embrace the Race, and thanks as always for wearing our great blue tie there on your big race days. We appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a lot of great kick out of that this morning earlier in the week with the blood horse photo, so thank you. But I do have another question for you. You know, you look up and down this horse's past performance, grade one, grade two, grade one, grade one. I mean, this horse just, you know, you guys, you know, other than that one allowance earlier in the year, you pretty much are just picking all the big spots for him. What's it like to just sort of repeatedly be showing up again and again against top flight conditions and top flight competition and sort of managing those invariable ups and downs that come with running at such a top level?
Yeah, and I think, Mike, I think that a lot of, I mean, his races, he's been running every time. I think some of them didn't set up for him, but he's run about every single race he's run in. You know, he's just really put forth the effort, and sometimes we got caught behind a slow pace and things didn't work out. Obviously he loves Churchill and he loves that course, and I think this course here favors him as well. He likes Keeneland. I think this little wider course, I think he'll like that. You know, he does. I mean, when you dance in every big dance, you're not going to win them all. You just want to be running your best every one to try to hit those. Right. And this one here would be a big feather in his cap if he could grab this one.
Buff Bradley joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Divisadero going in the Grade 1 Arlington Million later this afternoon. Of course, we'll have that coverage for you beginning 6 o'clock Eastern Time, presented by TwinSpires.com. Buff, you mentioned pointing for this race for a long time. Have you thought ahead? Like, I know trainers hate to look past a certain race, but have you mapped out what the schedule might look like the rest of the year, assuming that everything goes well this afternoon?
No, we haven't even looked past this race yet. I mean, there's so many options, and you know, there's some even shorter races that we've thought about. You know, we think that he's a nice enough horse that he could get it done in the mile as well. You face the same thing with him in the mile, though, as a pace scenario, and then them bunching up, and he might have a little tougher trip there, but he certainly can. He's got that much ability that he could win going a mile. So I don't, you know, we haven't looked forward, I mean, past this race, but do see quite a few options out there.
Buff, spend just a minute talking about Divisadero's owners, Gunpowder Farms. Tell me a little bit about that relationship and their involvement.
Well, they've had horses for maybe 4 or 5 years now, and they've been very fortunate to have some very nice horses, and Breaking Lucky is with Reed Baker, and some other nice stakes horses. They were very good about Divisadero every time that I said, let's just give them a little break. you know, DeVis Darrell's never had any major problem. He just needed a little time after some of his races. And as Mike had mentioned earlier, you know, we're hitting all the big races. And when you do that, you know, you've got to rest him in between at some point. And every time I said, let's just give him a break, they were very good about just taking this horse. And he went from the stall right out to the paddock. So there wasn't any, you know, he didn't have to be let down or kept up in the barn for a while. He got to enjoy his downtime being outside. So I think that, you know,
Buck
a lot
Bradley.
Of go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he's Buff Bradley. He's better than anybody at doing this, winning these big races. And, Buff, we want to wish you all the best later this afternoon in that Arlington Million. We've got to get to the top of the hour break, but before I do, we're sitting here at the Embrace the Race store, so I have to ask you, why do you, Buff Bradley, embrace the race and embrace this sport?
Well, you know, this is all it. This is the game. This is what we love, and these kind of races. You know, these are the big ones that we get up and come to the barn every morning for. You know, you hope to get these kind of horses, and when you do, you want to enjoy them.
There he is, Buff Bradley.
Can't say much better than that, Buff.
Well
good
said.
Luck today.
Good luck, pal.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
All right, and Buff Bradley, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Don't forget that you can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Wear what you love, embrace the race. All right, we're going to get to the second half of the show. That kicks off with Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau. It includes Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Brad Cox talking about his filly, Sassy Little Lila, taking on the boys in today's four-star Dave. We'll do all that next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing goes alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali. Free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Arrogate just not in the mood today. Arrogate will finish far, far back. And it's Accelerate and Victor Espinosa clear by 8-9 lengths here. Accelerate romps home in the San Diego.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, that is Penna and Feld. We are broadcasting from the Embrace the Race store, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, right here in downtown Saratoga. Stop by and say hello. The doors are now open, and you can come in and say hi to us and check out some of the great merchandise that they have here at the Embrace the Race store. Mike D'Anzaris from Embrace the Race is sitting in with us here this morning, too. Want to remind you that this afternoon, coming up 6 o'clock Eastern, you'll hear exclusive coverage of the four-star Dave, the Arlington Million, and the Beverly D, 6 Eastern on Sirius XM, Channel 93, and worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net.
Absolutely.
Fired up.
Yep. Can't wait. This is one of the best days, in my opinion, it's one of the best days of racing during the year. I look forward to it every year.
All right, so I'm going to ask, why is that? Why do you think it is? I mean, is it because it's turf? Is it because it's multiple cities? Is it internet? I mean, all of that, right?
Turf. I love turf racing.
Right.
That's my favorite.
Right.
And then, you know, you had the international flavor of the horses coming, you know, from Europe. And, and then the four-star Dave, always a good race.
Right.
You know, so it's and it's summertime. And usually the weather's nice.
Yep.
You know, they don't take the races off the turf.
Right.
Everything I love.
Well, this is the first time in the history of the Horse Racing Radio Network now, 13 years, the first time that we have not hosted this show and hosted our million coverage from Arlington Park. You remember Arlington was the very first race, and the million was the first race we ever broadcast on the network outside of the state of Kentucky. So it's a very special event for us, and to not be there is disheartening. But we have other events coming up here in Saratoga the next couple of days that are going to preclude us from making the trip this year. That doesn't preclude us from talking with our next special guest, though, who is Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau. Alistair is at Arlington. Alistair joined us on that first program in 2005, and he has been with us every single year since, and we can't thank him enough. That's why I love this day, JT. I get to talk to Alistair Donald.
There you go.
Alistair, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Mike. I'm in good shape, thanks. It's lovely to hear your dulcet tones down the phone, and it's just a lovely day here at Arlington.
We always look forward to visiting with you, and you are a constant source of success at the windows. So I know you will vehemently deny that, but it's absolutely true.
a constant source of irritation, I think, but success along the way.
Alistair, how was the trip over? Everything go well?
Yeah, everything went well. Trip over was great. The weather here has been beautiful. The horses are shipped well. Everything's fine. We lost one. Unfortunately, we lost a Godolphin horse in the Million Scottish who went lame and had an injury. But the rest of the Europeans in the barn are all doing fine, and looking forward to some good racing.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those other Europeans in the Million. I guess we start with, what, Deauville? Deauville? How are we going to say that one?
Deauville.
All right. Tell me about Deauville and the other Euros in the Arlington Million.
It sounds so much better when you say it.
Hmm?
I said it sounds so much more elegant when you say it. Let's just face those facts.
I'm not sure about that. But anyway, now he's a horse. Obviously, he comes from the Aidan O'Brien stable, and Aidan has a great reputation, a great record over here at Arlington on the turf. And I think this horse is, I'm really liking the way that he's pointing into this race. It's been a target for a while. He ran a very, very good race at Royal Ascot over a distance short of this, over a mile, finishing a length and a half behind Ribchester. That's very, very solid form. And he then had a prep race in the Group 3 at Ireland on ground that was soft, softer than he would like. He was only just touched off in that. And I think he comes into this race absolutely on top of his game. And I think it's possible that he's improved on his form last year.
Alistair, is Ribchester among the best horses in Europe now?
He's one of the top horses in Europe. He was very impressive at Ascot. He ran in the Sussex Stakes last week. The ground there was appalling. They had torrential rain. Ground went very, very soft, and he was just touched off by a mud lover of Andrew Balding's, but he would probably be one of the top milers in Europe right now.
You have a couple of other Europeans in that Arlington Million too. Tell me about them.
I think they are interesting horses. You've got to look at the French horse. Mectal, who's trained by the France champion trainer Jean-Claude Rouget. He's been keeping pretty good company, he's got a wideish draw, but he definitely belongs in the field, and I can see him running a big race based on a very solid performance when he ran the Prince of Wales behind at Ascot, behind Highland Reel. He wasn't quite up to that class, but he's pretty decent.
Yeah, that looks like it's pretty good form. Highland Reel is an extremely talented horse, and Mectal, one of the ones to keep in mind in the Arlington Million. And I guess the other one, Fanciful Angel, much longer price, 30-1 on the morning line for Marco Botti.
I think he probably deserves to be that long price. He's probably just a notch below the other two that we've talked about, but he's got some very sporting owners who are over here having a great time, and I think we're looking at good fast ground here, and that's what that horse won. So I think he'll run okay, but I agree with you, he's just a notch below the others.
Yeah, it's very kind of them to bring the horse over. We appreciate the participation. And, you know, the horse has a couple of wins on his chart. So it looks up against it, against the horses he's got to face today.
Yeah, but you never know. We can get the odd surprise, and you sometimes just get horses that step up a notch, and sometimes you have a horse that has an off day. But I agree with you. It's a sporting bid, but he's a long shot.
Do the Europeans take home the top prize in the million this year, Alistair?
I think so.
All right. Well, the Euros should be tough. Alistair Donald with us from the International Racing Bureau here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Alistair, how about in the Beverly D? Serendia, 30-1, big long shot, and Rain Goddess on the outside under Ryan Moore, 5-1.
Yeah, Rain Goddess is a filly I like. She doesn't win perhaps as often as you might like a horse too, but she's been running in some pretty decent company. I mean, if you look at her form, running in races like the Irish Oaks. The Pretty Polly, she's been second in those in the last two. There's no disgrace in going down to Neswa, who's probably one of the smarter 10 furlong fillies that we have over in Europe at the moment. And in the Irish Oaks, I mean, well, Enable is something very special, and probably the top filly top 3-year-old filly in Europe right now, I think we would say without any shadow of doubt.
Do you think, being a 3-year-old, that she has a little bit to overcome?
I think if, traditionally you've got to say that the Beverly D has perhaps been a race for the older mares, but she got a little bit to overcome. I think she comes into the race with a solid chance.
Alistair, you have 3 Europeans in the 6-horse Secretariat field, Offendum, Permian, and Taj Mahal, and 2 of the Europeans well-respected on the morning line. Actually, all 3 pretty well-respected. This looks like they could be tough in there, too.
Yeah. I think the one that sort of stands out on the form is Permian, who's just had a terrific season. He's done nothing wrong at all. I mean, he won the Dante, which is one of the top Derby trials. The Derby didn't go right from it. I don't think the course suited him particularly, but he's bounced back from that. He's a Royal Ascot winner. He then went over to Paris for the Grand Prix Paris, made all, just got caught, ran a huge race, and he deserves to be the shortest price of the 3. But there's some pretty, it's only a 6-horse race, but it's a very interesting race, I think, because you've got to, I think, give a lot of credit to Oscar Performance as well. It's going to be tough. The one thing that I think makes it even more interesting is that with Oscar Performance and Permian, with the race conditions as they are, they both carry the same weight, but the other two, Taj Mahal and Affendem, are in receipt of £7, and that just brings them into it a little bit more. So I think I think that's going to be a really interesting race, and I find it quite tough to split the 4 of them.
Alistair Donald on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Alistair, we are just 82 days away from the Breeders' Cup. We know that we will visit with you when we get to Del Mar. Who are some of the top European horses that we should keep an eye on as we make our way down that road to the Breeders' Cup?
Well, it's still 82 days away. It's a long, it is a long way away, but I think we've touched on one or two of them. I mean, I mentioned Highland Reel, and he's part of a very potent Aidan O'Brien force. And I can see him being back there. I can possibly see horses like Idaho from that stable contesting the turf. I think I would expect Aidan's got a very, very smart filly called Winter, who just won the Nassau. She could take on the boys in the mile. She could run in the filly and mare turf. But there's a lot to look forward to. And I touched on Enable just now, who you know, won the English Oaks, won the Irish Oaks, and beat the boys in the King George at Ascot 2 weekends ago. What her plans are regarding the Breeders' Cup, I wouldn't want to second-guess John Gosden, but he's been a great supporter and a great fan of the Breeders' Cup. It's a Judd Montone horse, Prince Carlo Abdullah. I think the immediate target for her is going to be the Yorkshire Oaks at the end of this month, and then probably the Prix de la Triomphe in October. So whether she's a Breeders' Cup horse or not, I don't know. But if she is, there'll be a lot to like about her.
No, nobody better than Alistair Donald talking about the Europeans, and that's why he's on this program now 13 years running. And Alistair, can't wait to see you at Del Mar. Sorry we can't be there with you at Arlington, my friend, but enjoy the day.
It's not quite the same as being with you or having you here in Arlington, but it's good to talk to you. And we'll catch up in Del Mar soon, for sure.
Okay, safe travels.
Okay.
Alistair Donald here on HRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Where would you love? At EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here you go. Pletcher has three in play for the Travers Stakes. Trainer Todd Pletcher said the $1.25 million Travers Stakes presented by Naira Betts remains a possibility for Always Dreaming, Outplay, and Taprit after all three breezed on August 11th. Always Dreaming and Outplay worked 4 furlongs in company on the Oklahoma training track. Always Dreaming was credited with 48.83, while Outplay clocked 49. Clockers recorded the duo galloping out 5 furlongs in 101 and 4/5, with the first quarter mile going in 25 1/5. And that is your Blood Horse news update. For more industry news and headlines, you can head over to BloodHorse.com. Blood Horse Magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for over 100 years and is the industry's only weekly magazine. If you want to follow the sport, the industry, well, there's no better way to do it than with Blood Horse Magazine. Don't miss an issue. Subscribe at BloodHorse.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more Arlington Million. We'll talk about the four-star Dave. We'll do that with Ed DeRosa from Brisnet.com and Twin Spires. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Tom Durkin for NYBreads.com, inviting you to get with the New York program because it offers owners a better chance to make money. Because you have the option of running in more than 800 races a year where your horse faces only other state breds. And there's more than $40 million in purse money for those restricted races. So come to Saratoga in early August and buy your New York bred yearling at one of the Fassig Tipton sales. And next year, we hope to see you win at the Spa.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Continental Divide, Smokum. Continental Divide. Continental Divide beat Smokum.
Continental Divide scored stylishly in the graduation stakes at Del Mar last Sunday under jockey Victor Espinoza for trainer Jim Cassidy. That winning effort by the son of Darley stallion Animal Kingdom makes Continental Divide your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom, a champion three-year-old and brilliant winner of the Kentucky Derby and Dubai World Cup, rated 128 by Timeform. Animal Kingdom possessed unique talent as a grade one horse on dirt, turf, and synthetic, and has sired undefeated Sunny Skies, winner of the debutante stakes at Churchill, and Untamed Domain, named a TDN Rising Star after breaking his maiden at Saratoga. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Now, American Patriot looking to thread through and comes on through as they straighten for home. It's Beach Patrol. Beach Patrol charging up Long Island Sound, who's staying on for the final furlong. American Patriot of that one pace, one mean man. Oscar dominated on the far side and Surgical Strike. They're inside the final half furlong. Beach Patrol just has the edge. Long Island Sound, American Patriot gets a doozy. It's Beach Patrol. Beach Patrol has won the Secretary at Stakes from Long Island Sound gamely. American Patriot, after that was Oscar nominated, One Mean Man was next. It was Beach Patrol. It's three today for Florent Giroux.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, and Mike Dianzaris broadcasting from the Embrace the Race store in downtown Saratoga as we get you set for a great afternoon of racing here on the network. 6 Eastern, you can join us for our coverage of the 4-star day from Saratoga presented by visitbarbados.org. And then stay with us as we bring you coverage of the Beverly D and Arlington Million. And that exclusive coverage is presented by our friends at twinspires.com. Beach Patrol won the Secretariat Stakes a year ago at Arlington. Today, he returns in the Arlington Million. And to talk more about that race, the Beverly D, and take a look at the 4-star Dave, let's welcome in Ed DeRosa from twinspires.com. Ed, welcome, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning. Live from Chicago and really excited for Million Day.
You sound like it.
You know, I'm a man
it's
of
early.
A few tones.
It's many, also many an hour words, earlier
many
there.
Words,
than it's
many words, little tone.
You can catch Ed, by the way, on our Brisnet.com call-in show every Thursday night with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, at 6 o'clock Eastern. Sirius 219 XM 206 is your home for that show every Thursday. All right, Ed, let's talk about some of these big races there today. I guess let's focus on the two that we're going to be covering on the radio later today, the Beverly D and the Arlington Million. Start with the Beverly D. How'd you see it?
Well, it's, to me, the most competitive of the four international races at Arlington, and it's part of their guaranteed pick three, pick four, and pick five. So, I'm going to have to be right about some other races because this is the one I'm definitely going deepest in. The Rain Goddess sticks out not only because of her connections. Everyone knows Aidan O'Brien, but certainly the company line, any number of the winners who have beaten her would probably be odds on in this spot. So, you know, she definitely, I think, merits an edge given Ryan Moore's making the trip, and she certainly fits on class. But I think Hawksmoore is a filly that might be a little under bet, so I'm definitely taking a look at her. Her races definitely fit with all of these, and I guess that's what makes it so competitive in my mind. Any number of these have run races that are good enough to win, and there really is no standout in terms of a consistent horse who continually outperforms the others. So Rain Goddess was my pick on top, but I will say we've had Brandon Staubel out here all week, and Kelly Riley, who works for Brisnet, does a lot of our international copy, and they're both over the moon with the German filly Serendiva, who's 30-1 on the morning line, and she will absolutely be on all my tickets, given that those two actually picked her on top.
Wow, that's impressive. That's some good information.
Normally, I don't like to – I mean, my views going in were Rain Goddess and Hawksmoor, I thought, sort of looked the most interesting. But when people I trust – and, you know, Jude and I talk about this all the time with what we do. You know, I don't listen to picks all the time, and I don't consult them, you know, for every race. But in a race where it's competitive and I'm looking for, you know, some info to steer me in the right direction, when those two say this – Philly looks like she can run and be competitive here at that price, I'm not going to ignore it.
So, okay, so which horses will you be using in the Beverly D?
Rain Goddess, Hawksmoor, Grand Jeté for Chad Brown, and Serendiva are the four that will be on every ticket.
All right, and then the race following the Beverly D is, of course, that Grade 1 Arlington Million, field of 13 set to go. How'd you see that one?
Well, I'm a little narrower here. I definitely favor the two international, or the top two international runners, Mactal and Deauville. You know, no disrespect to the horses that are U.S.-based. Sometimes we have the goods. And these are fine horses, grade one winners. They've run good races. Beach Patrol, we know, is one at Arlington. But to me, they just don't seem the measure of the two coming over from Europe. And because I want to be a little deeper in that Beverly D, and I feel like leaning on the internationals here gives me the best shot of popping a price elsewhere in the sequence. So I'm definitely leaning on the Euros. But I will say Kasaki, who finished second in the Million last year, seems to be coming in a similar way. And I think Beach Patrol and Divisadero are types that might be overbet a little bit, given their known quantities here and trainers who certainly take money, especially Chad Brown. And Kasaki just seems a little under the radar type, who's right there with the best in the U.S. and has been in this race before. So my approach is I'm using the two Euros in the Maltese. And then when it comes to the race itself with 12 to go, I'm a rare super player, but I think with 12 horses on a big day, it merits a chance here. And Kasaki will be the one I want to get underneath the two Europeans.
Yeah, he's always a horse that seems to fly under the radar, and I don't know why that is, but he runs hard every time he runs, and he does love Arlington Park.
That's right, yeah. When you're looking for a key, especially underneath, if you have some confidence that, hey, he can run his race and maybe it's not good enough to beat a horse like Deauville or Mactal, it's the price I think he'll be. If you slide him in there, you have a chance to open it up. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and I said a field of 13, field of 12. We did have one scratch from the Million. Number 9, Scottish, the Godolphin horse, was scratched. So you'll have 12 horses going to the post in that race later this afternoon. Ed, I don't know, you've been so busy at Arlington. Have you had an opportunity to look at that 4-star Dave here at Saratoga today?
I've looked at it enough that my first glance was that Disco is definitely going to be extremely tough to take off his beat. So I'm going in thinking he might be a single, but that was just a first glance. I mean, anytime you get these milers together, you have a chance to maybe find the right trip at the right price, and I am going to take another look because he is going to be the overwhelming favorite. So if I find a reason to beat him, maybe I'll take a shot. But first glance was that he looks super imposing, and I'm a big Grand Slam player, so sometimes I don't mind the leaning on the favor because I like to single in the Grand Slam and try to cold deck it for 10 or 20 bucks.
Visiting with Ed DeRosa from TwinSpires.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ed, what's going on at TwinSpires today? What can players expect when they visit TwinSpires.com?
Got a bet back on the Arlington Million, so opt into that. And if your pick finishes or your win bet finishes second, you'll get a refund on your win bet. So a little insurance in a full field. That if you're right, you can't get right enough that your horse runs well, you can't get completely stung. We'll refund your win bet. So check that out. And then I mentioned Kelly Riley earlier with my Beverly D information, and all her reports on the international runners today at Arlington are up at the TwinSpires.com blog. Just super work from her on detailing who these horses have been facing, how that class fits with ours. Essential reading if you're playing today at Arlington.
You know, considering that you do work with Briss and with Twin Spires, I know that you are always, well, pretty much always on the side of the horse player. And there was some news coming out this week that created a buzz. Keeneland increasing takeout on some of their wagers coming up with the fall meet in October. Your thoughts on that decision, Ed, and your reaction after you read the news?
Yeah, short term, I've been around enough to know I understand the business sense. They'll make more money. I think the big thing, and Churchill did something similar a few years ago to the exact same rates Keeneland is at now. In general, the horse players need to understand that their money is heard, but I don't want to say they have to work together necessarily, because that's a tall task to, get everyone on the same page, and we don't even know each other around the world. I mean, social media connects us a little bit, but to me, you got to vote with your wallet, and if you don't think that the price is right, or that this gives you a worse chance to win, or it's not entertaining for you to pay higher rates, support the tracks that offer the rates that you think are competitive and where they need to be as a horse player. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened. And we've seen some tracks try lower takeout and they weren't happy with the results. And yeah, maybe they could try it a little longer, and maybe one meet isn't significant to draw conclusions. But the fact remains is, as an executive, I can't fault guys and girls who look around at other tracks and say, well, they tried this and it failed, or New York's takeout is 24% and ours is only 19%, and everyone bets New York, so why aren't we there? Those are legitimate questions in my mind. So to me, an effort to all get on the same page as horse players and support the tracks that have lower takeout, if that's what we want, that's what needs to happen, or this isn't going to change.
Yeah, and for people that haven't read the news, the takeout increase on win, place, and show bets goes from 16% to 17.5%, so a 1.5% increase. Most of the other exotic bets are going to increase 3%, from 19% to 22%. Put that in perspective, Ed. How significant is a 1.5% or even a 3% increase? How much does that affect a horse player?
On one bet, like let's say a wager had paid $810, you hit a trifecta, now it's going to pay $780. So $30 out of your pocket on a big hit. To me, the biggest thing on win, place, show is anytime you increase the takeout, you increase the risk that breakage is going to sting you. Because with breakage, if a horse should have paid $760, you get $760. But now with the takeout increasing, if that horse pays $759, you get $740. So, yeah, it's only 1.5%, but the way the money is divided, anytime you get knocked down that sort of that breakage ledge, you actually have a chance to lose 19 cents, not just a penny or two. And that, to me, is one of the biggest issues with takeout. I'd be much more willing to stomach 15, 16, 17% win, place, show takeout. It's way past time to get rid of the nickel breakage. Most of us are online. I've met a lot of tellers. They know how to handle pennies. They know how to count. Let's get rid of the nickel and dime breakage and just go to penny breakage and pay these win and place and show prices the true value from the pool.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Ed DeRosa, BrissNet.com, TwinSpires.com. And yeah, it may have been a Freudian slip there, I guess, right? Ed, appreciate the time, my friend, as always. And,
absolutely.
Like all of our guests who appear on the program, man, we're going to get you a gift from Embrace the Race, where we're positioned here today. Got to ask you before I let you go, why do you embrace the race, Ed DeRosa?
I embrace the race because it helps me look good at the track, and I need all the help I can get.
Ed, that answer is too good to follow up with the other part, so we'll clip it right on the first half of that. How's that?
There you go.
Appreciate it, my friend.
I have a couple ties you guys have sent me, and they're in heavy rotation for sure, so love it.
That's great, Ed. Thanks so much, and enjoy the commentary today. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud. Ed DeRosa, TwinSpires.com. Of course, that coverage of the Arlington Million this afternoon on the network is presented by TwinSpires.com. You know, that takeout thing, Jude, one thing that struck me about it that I thought was odd, if a track increases takeout, okay, it's that they want to – Keeneland's saying we're going to put it back into purses, right? Or it's for the track purposes of making more money, however you want to look at it. But Keeneland has a sale company, right? So for Keeneland to increase takeout, to me, it was like – really? I mean, I know they're a racetrack. I know they're running that side of the business, but does the sale company play into that at all or no?
Well, the sale company funds Keeneland's purses for the most part.
Right. See, that's what
they,
I thought.
They have that luxury.
Yeah.
And that's why the purses are great there and the racing is so good.
Right.
Because of the sales company. You know, maybe they're trying to take a little pressure off of the sales company.
Right.
You could look at it that way. It just seemed poorly timed. You know,
the
world's in enough turmoil without Keeneland raising takeout when they're supposed to be the industry leader. That's the way I looked at it.
Yeah.
You know, Keeneland is the self-proclaimed industry leader, right? Everybody looks to Keeneland. So in a environment where takeout is so important to a lot of players, and sometimes I think it's a little bit overdone, but, you know, somebody that goes to the track twice, three times a year like fans do at Keeneland, they don't really care what the takeout is because they're going for a day of entertainment. They're not, you know, making their living playing the horses or whatever. But some people that do, they want to bet on those good races, but they feel like they're being taken advantage of. So I just feel if you're going to be the industry leader, you gotta lead, you know?
Yeah, if a track does it, okay, but when Keeneland does it, that's what stood out to me. I think that's
right.
Why it got so many headlines.
Exactly.
It created so much stir.
There's Keeneland and everybody else, right?
Right.
I mean, they've taken that mantle on themselves.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, nobody thrust it upon them. They've taken that mantle, and I think that's what's important is for them to protect their image and their brand, as you would say, Mike, and that's it's definitely off brand to do that.
Well,
and I think what's interesting too, and kind of, you know, listening to what Ed's talking about, is his viewpoint sort of embodied kind of the modern horse playing environment, right? So he was talking about two scenarios: the on track breakage, counting literally pennies, nickels, dimes, and then he's saying that there's this, you know, when you talk about how many folks are playing in a virtual environment or an online environment and how that's all factoring into it, which is interesting because, to your point, to the person showing up on a Saturday or a Thursday, that's not going to impact their ROI or their formulas, or like we were talking about before, you know, how as a horse player, you know, because what you do in the first two races of a pick three might change how you play going into the – change your odds or your perceived odds on a horse going into pick three. But, you know, he's talking about how it impacts his customers and a growing and a great environment of horse players that are not physically there but, you know, are certainly knowing what it means to embrace the race online as much as in person. So it's a fascinating conversation.
All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back and visit with Brad Cox talking about Sassy Little Lila taking on the boys in today's four-star day. But before we do that, I want to remind you that Uncle Mo's yearlings, that's right, Uncle Mo's yearlings were highly sought after at the Saratoga Select Sale this past week, selling for up to $700,000. And he will look to continue his momentum on the track this weekend in the Grade 2 Best Pal at Del Mar. And he has Mo Diddley and Tempestad going to the post in the Saratoga Special, all by Uncle Mo. Ashford Stanton Looking at Lucky will also be represented in the special by Diamond Oops, a stakes winner in his last start. And both sires have yearlings on offer in the New York Bred Sale at Saratoga this Saturday and Sunday. The Ashford sires are well represented across the board in that sale, including 8 from Verrazano's First Crop, which could continue to find favor with buyers, including a colt that sold for $285,000 earlier this week. For more information, simply visit coolmore.com. We're back to visit with Brad Cox next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
International super sire Warfront has added even more graded stakes winners to his record. Ranked the world's number one sire by two-year-old stakes winners in 2016, he picked up his 15th lifetime grade one victor when American Patriot scored in this year's Makers 46 mile. Other recent stakes winners include grade one victor Brave Anna, War Decree, Roly Poly, Intelligence Cross, Journey Home, and Cambodia. Warfront at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Maryland is synonymous with the Hall of Fame. Once again, Maryland boasts connections with two 2017 Hall of Fame inductees firmly rooted in the state. Trainer Tom Voss lived and trained in Maryland, while steeplechase horse Goodnight Shirt was bred in Maryland. Maryland, we've got the horses, the horsemen, and the history, and with the current upswing in our breeding and racing, it's the place to be. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breds. And don't forget, this year's Maryland Million Day is Saturday, October 21st.
Adena Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording eight fires from 107 to 117 and nine Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings, Fort Larned. Brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
So coming to the top of the stretch, Burma Road's going to put in a bid on Sassy Little Lila. They come off the turn together. Sassy Little Lila on the inside, shaking up on that lead. Burma Road to the attack on the outside, and they head for the final furlong together. The whip is out on Burma Road. Confident ride on Sassy Little Lila. Now the whip is out there, but clear by half a length. Burma Road's been trying to get by, but now she's losing ground. And it will be Sassy Little Lila who goes coast to coast, winning by 2.5. Burma Road second, Flying Tippet was third, and Motown Lady finished fourth.
Travis Stone with the call of that allowance victory for Sassy Little Lila at Churchill Downs on May 20th. This afternoon, the waters get a bit deeper as she takes on the boys in the Grade 1 Four-Star Dave here at Saratoga. A mile on the turf, likely a field of six, and she has some early speed and could be dangerous in this spot this afternoon. Joined now by her trainer, Brad Cox, here on HRRN. Brad, appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing her do her thing this afternoon. She's very, very quick. You catch a short field here, which has to be a somewhat welcome news to you. Tell me about this filly and what we might look forward to seeing later today.
She's coming in the race in good shape. She's had plenty of time since her last effort, which was a huge one against the fillies there at Belmont, going a mile. We've had this race on our radar for a while. Some other ones, obviously, as well. But the way the other ones come up and the way this one came up, we decided to take a swing. I mean, it's obviously a big step up, but you know, she's a nice filly, and we think that she's got a shot with just the way the pace scenario sets up and the turf course up here, how it's been playing, and we're excited about her.
You should be the lone front runner in the race. brutal beat last time. I mean, your filly ran so good, and Antono had to have some kind of miraculous trip to win that race. You had to be devastated after that loss.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if I was more devastated. I was probably a little more devastated after the race in California last on New Year's Eve. That was probably the toughest beat we had ever taken. She led every single jump at the last one. And to get beat a nose was tough in the American Oaks. But no, it was a tough loss that day. This filly, is obviously not a stake winner yet, but she's knocked on the door twice in grade ones. And, you know, she's only had 8 starts in her career, but she's, super talented. And, she has speed, which speed's always, dangerous. And, I think, you guys, well, obviously, have looked at the race, and I mean, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of speed in there. You know, I don't know what'll happen when the latch is open. I mean, that'll be up to Luis Saez and her, and the other horses in the race. But you know, we like our chances today, and she's feeling well. She looks amazing, and she's ready.
Yeah, and you have to feel good about the fact, Brad, that she's run twice at Saratoga. She has a win in a second, so she can handle this particular turf course too. That has to be kind of a feather in her cap.
Yes, she won the last race on the last day of the meet here last year, going 1.8 miles, and nearly broke the track record that day. The turf obviously was firm that day, and she ran her. We thought this filly last summer up here, training her up, to that maiden win. We thought that she had turned the corner and act like she was going to be a really serious filly. And she rewarded us that day with breaking her maiden. And we thought, we're going to have a big year, the rest of the year with her. We did. We were able to win the first level allowance at Belmont, going 1.25 miles, and then get her some stakes placings, grade one stakes place, so along with a nice race at Aqueduct. But, we thought, this is going to be our year to win a graded stake and, hopefully a grade one with her. And, it's just her third race off the layoff. We've taken our time bringing her back. We had her in at Keeneland. We didn't quite think she was where we needed to be. We had her in, I believe it was Oaks Day at Churchill. Race was rained off. Then we came back, I guess it was 2 weeks later, in the second level allowance at Churchill. She made a good showing. And then we came back a little quick in the Just the Game. I think we came back in 21 days or something. But, we wheeled her back a little quick. She ran well. She did get a little late there at the end. I personally think 2 turns is better for this filly. A two-turn mile in 16th or even 1.8 miles is better for her as opposed to the one-turn race at Belmont. So, we're thinking that this could be a better setup for around 2 turns up here at Saratoga as opposed to the 1 turn last time she had at Belmont.
Brad, you're quickly closing in on 700 career wins, and you've won several graded stakes races over the course of your career. As a matter of fact, you've won 4 of them here in 2017. But this would be, if I'm not mistaken, your first grade one victory if you can pull it off. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, this would be the first grade one win. Like I said, Sassy's knocked on the door a couple times, and we had a filly at Temple Street several years back that actually turned out to be a really nice broodmare that we had claimed for 15,000 that was narrowly defeated in the Humana Distaff. She looked like she was going to win the last inside the 16th pole at Churchill. I guess that was in 2010. But, we've never never knocked down the grade one. We're hoping it's sooner rather than later. Hopefully today. But we don't worry about things like that. Hopefully those things will happen. When it does, we'll be happy. And it would be special. It would be special to do it today, because I mean, we think that this mare is a true grade one horse. She is, and obviously against the boys it's tough, but she's hopefully she's up for the challenge.
Yeah, how cool would it be to have your first grade one be a filly beating the boys in that grade one race here at Saratoga, too? That would be a memorable one, Brad.
Yeah, to say the least.
Brad Cox with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brad, all of our guests who appear on the program receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. So before I let you go, I'm going to ask you, why do you embrace the race, my friend?
Well, it's just it's a good program to the support, and it's all about the horses, and you know, taking care of the animals, and just you know, rewarding the horses, giving back to the horses that take care of us day in and day out.
Well said. He's Brad Cox. He's here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brad, appreciate the time. Good luck today. Go get that first grade one.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. Talk to you guys soon. Good luck today.
All right, Brad Cox here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Looking forward to that race today. Again, our coverage begins 6 o'clock Eastern time right here on the network, Sirius XM 93, and streaming worldwide on your computer, smartphone, mobile device at horseracingradio.net. We'll get to a break. We'll come back. Our Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions is next, and then we'll wrap everything up for you right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Think smart. Ask yourself, what can Sunrise Stallions do for you? Big Brown was the third leading sire in New York in 2016 and currently sits in the same spot in 2017. Last year, Frost Giant had four juveniles sell for $100,000 or more and was recently represented by his first two-year-old winner of 2017. Together, Big Brown and Frost Giant's runners have earned over $2 million in the first half of this year. The answer is simple. Sunrise Stallions puts you in the winner's circle.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power. Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destin right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepret and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Tappet has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Tappet's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, Phillies, Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Pena, Jude Feld, Mike D'Anzaris, all back with you here on the Equine Forum on HRN. Time for our weekly Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions. And joining me now is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Big A, let's do this thing. It's right or wrong?
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number one, Sassy Little Lila will take on the boys in the Grade 1 four-star Dave today, as we just heard with Brad Cox. Well, that's a rarity here in the States. It occurs quite often overseas with a girl taking on the boys. We should see more of that here in the States. Is that right or wrong, Big A?
I believe that is wrong, Baron. I feel that
the filly and mare competition here in the States is more than adequate for these young ladies and mares to bang heads with each other on the turf. You know, I think Kieran McLaughlin said it best. You just have to worry about Chad Brown. He could have a race unto himself on the lawn. And then on the dirt, especially a year like this, you have Songbird, you have Stella Wynn, Vale Dory. Then you have a three-year-old like Abel Tasman, Unique Bella when she comes back. So I don't think we need to follow along with all of these Euro trends. I think it's fine for the fillies to take themselves on.
I like when the fillies take on the boys. I think it's great. I wouldn't mind seeing more of that here in the United States. I think it adds intrigue to the race. I don't see any reason that the top fillies and mares that we have in the sport, they routinely defeat the boys. You look at what Miss Temple City did last year. You look at what Teppan did when she faced the boys. I mean, the top ones, they proved that they can run with the best of the male contenders that we have in the sport today. I like it. I think it adds a lot to it, and I'm perfectly fine with the girls taking on the boys.
Yeah, right or wrong.
All right, number
Am
two.
Right? What do you
with
think?
19
right
days in the books. Well, I think you're right, Nikki. We all do, right or wrong. All right, 19 days in the books here at Saratoga. Jose Ortiz holds a one-win lead over his brother Irod in the jockey standings. Chad Brown leads by the same margin over Todd Pletcher. Big A, when they wrap things up on Labor Day, Jose and Chad will both win their respective races. Right or wrong?
That's wrong as well. In fact, I don't think either of them are going to win their race. I think Irod is going to overtake his little brother. And I think Todd Pletcher, when the money's down, is going to play that dropping, claiming game and reading that condition book a little better than Chad Brown. Todd's had a little more experience doing it. I know Chad won the title last year. I just think Chad doesn't know how to play the game as well as Todd when the crunch time comes. And Irod has not been making a lot of mistakes. Jose's been making quite a few mistakes. I think Irod and Todd Pletcher win their titles.
I'm gonna disagree with you. Ed read the condition book just fine last year. Worked out pretty well for him. He walked away with that Eclipse Award at the end of the year. This is a guy who has a lot of firepower here. And as far as Jose goes, I mean, look, he's getting on a lot of really nice horses, and the kid can flat out ride. I think that they both repeat. I think they both end up on top at the end of the meet.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
Right or wrong, Nikki Zito. We appreciate it, Big A. We'll talk to you here later on, my friend.
I'm on my way up. See you guys later.
All right, that's Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions. JT, very, very busy program. We covered a lot of ground here today. Mike D'Anzaris has been kind enough to allow us to come back to the Embrace the Race store again in downtown Saratoga. Mike, we've done this for a few years now when we come up to Saratoga, and can't thank you enough.
Yeah, it's always fun to have you guys, and it's fun to sort of watch the day unfold, you know, around the country, around the world, racing-wise, certainly locally right here at the Embrace the Race store. We start at an early hour at the store. It's coffee and bagels in the morning and little pastries for everybody, and then the doors open, people start coming in, and it's fun to sort of see that. So, and certainly, and of all days, of many days, that embody sort of the spirit of Embrace the Race and around the country and around the world. Today's a great example here, Arlington. Some great races, turf races, international folks, people racing, you know, girls racing against the boys to make a statement. Maybe a first grade one winner for Brad Cox should be a great day.
Yeah, a lot of things to look forward to over the course of the next several hours. And by the way, our coverage this afternoon, 6 Eastern here on the network. One more time, we'll remind you, Sirius XM 93 is where you'll find that coverage. And you can always tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to all of our guests joining us this morning, Eric Bishop, Buff Bradley, Alistair Donald, Ed DeRosa, and Brad Cox. If you missed any portion of the show, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast at your leisure. Been fun, JT.
Yeah, it's great. I love the overstuffed chairs as opposed to the old folding chairs from some church halls.
Yeah,
first class here for you, Jude.
I love it.
You can stay when the show's over, by the way.
I might just stay.
All right, good.
For our producers, Michelle Penna, my beautiful wife, on site with us here this morning, for Lee Delapina and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, for Sean C. with our social media, and for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Hey, go Steelers 1-0.
Good night, Barbados.